You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Sunday, the 15th of March, and we're looking ahead to another week of racing here with us at William Hill. It feels like probably the most Sunday of all Sundays we've had in a long, long time. I'm absolutely delighted to say that I've stolen Will Smith from the retail team out of the studio and into the racing recording room to record this podcast. Will, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. Yourself?
I'm very good. It has been a Sunday, hasn't it, today? Let's be honest.
For sure.
Yeah. It's been a Sunday.
Yeah, for sure.
There were still winners to find, and you found a couple.
Oh, one or two. Yeah, one or two. Always need, you know, a couple more, but hey-ho, we'll be happy with it. I found a couple in the week at Cheltenham, so that felt all the better, even though they pay the same price as any winner on any day, but they just feel that bit more special.
They don't, don't they? I guess it's only right that we do look back at the Cheltenham Festival, because not only is it likely to be the last mass-attended sporting event maybe for weeks, if not months, in the UK.
Yep.
It was genuinely, if we take out all of the off-the-course rubbish and horrible negativity that we've had this week,
yep,
genuinely one of the most enjoyable festivals. It had everything, didn't
it?
It had drama, it had overturned favourites, it had favourites bolting up, it had close finishes, it had 10.5 length finishes.
Yep.
What did you make of the whole thing?
Oh, like you said, it had everything. I mean, there were some really spectacular performances. As you said, there were some favourites that were surprisingly beaten. You sort of think of Paisley Park, Tiger Roll maybe, Defi de Soy, of course, probably the shortest price of them all to be turned over as well. He was ultimately pretty disappointing. And some really good stories as well. Some, you know, just some fantastic winners for Connections who, ultimately, there were some really high-powered ones that did dominate, but sprinkled in amongst that there was one or two, you know, really nice stories as well. Kim Bailey getting a festival winner again in the shape of Imperial Aura. The Fox Hunters winner for the O'Sullivan, Eugene and Maxime O'Sullivan, that was a great story. And just everywhere you looked on every day there was just themes that ran through the meeting and was absolutely like gold dust.
It was, and there was a really good battle, it felt, on different days between the punters and the bookies. Some days, the bookies were fearing, oh my word, it's Townend and Mullins again.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute, can we get one of these beaten, please? And on other days, it was just favourites getting knocked over.
Yeah.
And that's at the heart of horse racing, really. No matter what level we're talking, it was a real battle.
Yeah, I mean, day one epitomised that, because if you'd have said about 3 weeks ago, or even, you know, a little bit longer than that, that Shishkin was going to win the Supreme Novice Hurdle, you'd have said, oh my goodness, that's a terrible result for bookies. But he went off 6-1, which was extraordinary, like given how the weight of support that there'd been for him in the months leading up to the race. And then all of a sudden, there's about three horses that get well backed on the day, and he's suddenly, you know, out to third or fourth favourite. So I think the bookies probably were quite happy with that particular result. And then Epatant winning the Champion Hurdle was a killer for them, because she was incredibly well backed. And even though the second favourite won the Mayor's Hurdle, probably Willie Mullins' banker of the meeting, Benny DeGio, was beaten in it. So, yeah, just fantastic, you know, themes all the way through it. And as you said, bookies and punters, it was a real ding-dong battle.
Let's put a little bit of pressure on Will here then. I'm going to tweet to the listeners of the Daily Racing Podcast to some commentary from whichever race you like of the festival. What was your performance? What are you going to treat the listeners to again now for us, Will?
Yeah, well, it's when you say performance, I'm taking it quite generally, because in the Marsh Novices Chase, the first race on Thursday of the meeting, the first race on the new course, there were just so many performances, human and equine, that I thought were notable, and it featured a finish, obviously a really close, probably the closest finish of the whole meeting, between Sam Crow and Mellon, of course, and Forheen, the mighty Forheen, back in third, a length off them in third. And that all three of those at the top of that race in the podium finishes, there's stories to all three of them, I think, are just absolutely fascinating, heartwarming, gut-wrenching, exciting, everything you want about horse racing, everything that we love about it, and some things which are perhaps not so good, but they've been brought around to have positive spins. You know, that race epitomised it for me. It was just a cracking finish. Sam Crowe, Mellon, Fourheen, three absolute heavyweights of the game. For various reasons, they've had ups, they've had downs. Some of them love Cheltenham. Some of them have had good experiences at Cheltenham. In the case of Mellon, he's now, I think, a four-time second place, or maybe three-time second place finishing horse at the Cheltenham Festival, which is mighty in its own right, but incredibly galling, you'd imagine, for connections. And I mean, Sam Crowe and Fourheen, they're two... Well, Fourheen is a legend of the game. And,
exactly,
and
yeah.
Sam Crowe, I don't think I've ever seen Gordon Elliott cry, but he cried after he won that race, because it has been such a battle getting Sam Crowe back to somewhere near the levels that he, you know, Gordon Elliott thought he was, I guess, probably only 18 months ago. He thought he was his next superstar. And to see him win again at the Cheltenham Festival brought Gordon Elliott, you know, big, strong man, brought him to tears. It was amazing.
Listeners, this is the 1:30 from Cheltenham on Thursday afternoon.
They race away for the Marsh Novices Chase, first race on day three of the Cheltenham Festival. Poker Play and Fourheen disputing it over the first. Reserve Tank was a little slow in third place on the inside in the blue jacket. Then Sam Crowe, followed by Mellon, Mr. Fisher on the inside. Further back in the midfield is Sansonne in the blue and yellow colours as they jump the second up. Beautiful jump by Fourheen there, who leads the way. Back in the field, Itchy Feet is tucked away on the inside behind the strong tugging Tornado Flyer. Vapon, Midnight Shadow out wide, and Annie Mack is probably just about the back marker in the very early stages of this Grade 1 Marsh Novices Chase, registered as the Golden Miller Chase. And it's the 12-year-old Fourheen, the 2015 champion hurdler, also winner of a Neptune, looking for his third festival win here this afternoon at the age of 12. Fourheen from Reserve Tank on the far side. Mr. Fisher close up, far side two, followed by Mellon and Sam Crowe, and Poker Play is on the outside. Further back in the field then is Bapom from Itchy Feet and Sansonne. Out wide in the orange cap is Midnight Shadow, Annie Mack and Tornado Flyer. At the next, Reserve Tank on the far side of Fourheen. And Mellon now getting very handy indeed, with Poker Play in that leading quartet. They're followed by Mr. Fisher. Bapom in the bright green cap in behind them from Sam Crowe. Midnight Shadow out wide, Sansonne. Itchy Feet still tucked in on the inside of the field. Back in the pack, alongside Tornado Flyer, and Annie Mack is a little bit wider. On now to the next, with just over a circuit left to travel. And Mellon's going to pick up just ahead of Fourheen here from Reserve. And Itchy Feet has gone! Itchy Feet has blundered and unseated Gavin Sheehan. He had no chance. It was a bad blunder. And so Itchy Feet, one of the leading contenders, is out of the race. Racing now towards the far side. And Mellon leads the way to Fourheen. Reserve Tank the inside of Sam Crowe. Poker Play, then Mr. Fish around the inside of Bapom. Midnight Shadow behind the Sansonne and Tornado Flyer and Annie Mack. Itchy Feet is absolutely fine. And Gavin Sheehan is up on his feet as well as they jump the first down the back straight. And it's Mellon that leads the way to Fourheen in second. Reserve Tank on the inside. They're approaching the water jump now. Sam Crowe, Bapom close up on the outside. Poker Play, wide two is Midnight Shadow. Mellon taking the water in good style. Now on to an open ditch. Mellon leads the way. Patrick Mullins ahead of stable companion Fourheen and Paul Townend over the ditch. Both take it okay. Followed by Sam Crowe, who's going well. Midnight Shadow is on the outside. Reserve Tank hasn't left the inner in the blue jacket. Followed by Bapom over the next. Mellon jumping beautifully there from Fourheen. Then Sam Crowe, Midnight Shadow, Reserve Tank right round the inside. Bapom, they're well grouped together as they head on now towards another open ditch. This is six out they're coming to. Mellon from Fourheen. Mellon into it on a good stride. Fourheen took it well as well, efficiently. Poker Play is losing touch at the back of the field. Third is Sam Crowe. Reserve Tank. Midnight Shadow, Bapom, Annie Mack. At the next plain fence. Mellon by a length to Fourheen in second. Over in third, Reserve Tank on the inside of Sam Crowe. Mr. Fisher, the inner then, of Bapom. And they're followed by Midnight Shadow. Annie Mack creeping a little bit closer. from Saint-Sonnet and Tornado Flyer. On towards four out at the top of the hill. Mellon still leads the way. Long jumped it well for Heen. Very neat. A mistake from Annie Mack. And now they begin the run down the hill with three fences left to jump. And it's Mellon, the dual champion hurdle runner-up from Foheen in second with the familiar white blaze. The pink colours of Susanna Ritchie. Reserve tanks on the inside. Sam Crow, Midnight Shadow with every chance. Three out. Mellon over in front from Foheen, who nodded slightly. Sam Crow goes up into second now, moving very sweetly on the bridle, followed by Midnight Shadow. Bapon, Saint-Sonnet is on their heels as well, followed by Mr. Fisher. Annie Mack, reserve tank, is backpedaling as they now swing the corner. Two fences left to jump. Mellon is pressed by Sam Crow. Foheen is hard on their heels, followed by Midnight Shadow, Bapon, then Saint-Sonnet and Mr. Fisher. This is the second last, and Sam Crow got in a bit low there and hands the initiative again to Mellon. Foheen is switched to the far side. It's Mellon that leads to Sam Crow. Foheen is battling on in third place as they now reach the final fence. It was Mellon and Sam Crow who landed as one. Foheen is trying to reel them back as they race up the hill. Sam Crow just leads the way to Mellon. Here comes Foheen. He's charging at them down the outside. Mellon fights on, but Sam Crow has his head in front. Mellon rallies close to the finish. It's tight. Mellon far side of Sam Crow in a tremendous duel. Foheen hunting them up.
Great to hear that back once more. Of course, you can go back and listen to all of our daily racing podcasts from the Cheltenham Festival. They're all available to download or listen again via wherever you get your audio on demand. Simply search William Hill Racing in Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever it may be, and you can download and listen to all of the Cheltenham Festival recaps that have just gone. Now, as part of the podcast, we always like to talk about a couple of races on the following day. And of course, tomorrow, Monday, the 16th of March, as it stands, and very much everything is up in the air at the moment, as you can imagine, Southall, Hereford and Kelso are all scheduled to go ahead. There's six races slated for each of the three cards. Southall kick us off at 2 o'clock and we go through until the 4:50 at Hereford. Kelso are definitely behind closed doors. Hereford and Southall yet to announce certain measures, but we've no idea what might go ahead over the next couple of days. So if you are travelling to either Southall or Hereford, please check before you start making your journey and remain safe with everything that's going on. If you're not making the journey, you're more than welcome to listen to William Hill Racing Radio. We'll be on air shortly before that first race at 2 o'clock. It's Gareth Topham, the Lord is back once more, John Budden and Craig Forsyth. We're on air for about 3 hours, half a shift for the team tomorrow. We're going to have a couple of looks at a couple of races, races that you've had a little bit of a look for in terms of our retail previews tomorrow. So we're going to sort of delve a little bit deeper. And we're going to start at Hereford, if that's okay with you, Will. The 4:20 contest. It's a handicap. It's 2 miles, four furlongs. Well, 2 miles, 5 furlongs, really. 12 runners. Jury's Out is 11 to 8 favourite. Bredon Hill Lad, 4 to 1. Angels Envy, 9 to 2. 6 to 1 for Scartair. Go Hard or Go Home at 10s, 14 to 1. And Bigger for Sustainable Star, all the way down to Pot de Fleur at 50 to 1. Price is correct at time of recording and very much subject to change. Now, we are paying four places on this, Will, and you've had a look at one that isn't necessarily the favourite.
No, definitely not the favourite, because probably not the favourite because it's a 28 race maiden that I'm going to suggest backing each way. A horse called Scartair, who is nothing if not consistent. If you look back through its 19 last racecourse starts, it's only been out of the first four on three of those occasions. Okay. And on those three occasions, it finished fifth. So just incredibly consistent. It seems to run its race, you know, at any number of times, whether it's had a break off the racecourse or not, which is pretty crucial on this occasion because it appears off the back of an 87-day break, so 3 months off the track. But if you go back through its form, it's had pretty decent performances off the back of similar breaks before. So I just think it is ultimately going to run its race. And in a race where I don't think you can find any other horse in the race that you know is definitely going to run its race because it's a pretty low grade.
It is. There's lots of letters in quite a lot of these forms.
Absolutely.
There's a P and a U in the favourites form, for crying out loud. There's P's and F's and U's all over the shop. So
that's
actually,
right,
that level of consistency is something to look for.
It counts for a lot. Yeah, it counts for a huge amount at this level. And it might well be that, you know, connections of Scarterre have happened upon a race where things might just all fall his way and he can finally break his maiden at the 29th time of asking. And the price is, as you mentioned, 6-1 is, I mean, whether it's going to be that price when you're listening to this particular podcast, it seems to me like an absolute bet to nothing each way bet for me, because he's going to be in the frame. And it might be a market that maybe you have a look at the place market closer to the race off time as well, because you could almost double your stake in the place market because you're going to get, you're sure to get a return on that, touch wood. So yeah, Scarterre in the 4.20 at Hereford each way.
That's an interesting little selection there. It might have struck gold, so to speak, on that particular race. Scarterre 6-1, Benjamin Post on board in the 4.20. We're not going to go further ahead. We're only going to go 10 more minutes ahead and talk about the 4.30 at Southall for our second contest. And conveniently, this is also one of our extra place races. Four places instead of three at 1/5 of the odds. I will say this, with regards to our extra place specials, you do need minimum number of runners. So please, if you are betting each way or following in any of the selections, do just check the terms and conditions, because if we do get non-runners, and who knows what might happen tomorrow, they may affect the conditions. But nevertheless, we're going to go ahead as we can. 3 miles and 59 all-important yards for this Southall contest, 13 of them scheduled to go to post. And we've got joint favourites here, Fiddlesticks at 11-4, Fizzlesticks, I should say, 11-4, Hang Tough, 11-4, Planey, 8-1, Dubai Outlaw, 17-2, In From, 9-1, 9-1 from Jour à la Plage, Chazard 11-1, Riddlestown 12s, Black Squirrel 12s, Boherlad 12s, Oliver's Island 12s, 14-1, Duffy Allen 22-1, and 50-1 for the final two in the market. We're going to be talking each way again here, aren't we?
We definitely are. Yeah, our odds compilers love a 12-1, don't they? By the sound
huge
of that.
Fan. If in doubt, 12-1 is fine.
No, it's one that's actually just had a bit of nibble of support that you mentioned there, actually, which is good to see in one sense. I guess Dubai Outlaw for Dave Jeffrey, with Jamie Bargery on board, who's ridden the horse the last twice. I think the key thing for me here is the step up to 3 miles for the first time, because has had two starts in handicaps so far since the start of the season back in November and December, and both runs came over trips that were shy of this distance. Firstly, over 2.5 at Hereford, when ran a really eye-catching race in fifth behind Pemberley on that occasion, and then was dropped to 2 miles next time out, which I was slightly surprised that I didn't think would suit, but ultimately was well beaten, and I wasn't surprised at that. But everything that the Dubai Outlaw has done so far as a point-to-pointer and under rules has suggested that he really needs a strong test of stamina, because inherently he's pretty slow, I think. But I think he might be the fastest slow horse in this race, if
the
that makes sense.
The fastest slow horse. I like that phrase.
Well, it's a 0-100 handicap, so it's probably the best way of describing them, with all due respect to, you know, connections of all the horses involved, because they're, you know, they're all lovely animals in their own right. But I do think that Dubai Outlaw, Dave Jeffries, is a trainer that, you know, only has a small string, but I have a lot of time for. He finds his horses out and finds out how they can win a race, and I think maybe the fact that he's been playing around with the trip and then suddenly now he goes over 3 miles, Jamie Bargery booked again, I think it might be quite an interesting angle into the race, really, at what should be a decent each way price.
Couple of each way bets. Dubai Outlaw in the 4.30, the finale on Southall's card. It's been a little bit of a shorter podcast, and like I say, it's been the most Sunday of all Sundays today. But don't worry, there will be another podcast tomorrow. I can exclusively reveal that it is the Lord Budden on tomorrow's podcast, and you never want to miss out on a Lord Budden podcast. So listen in tomorrow evening as well. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
Cheers, all the best.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.